In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Who do people say that I am? But who do you say that I am? These are the questions that Jesus asked the disciples in Mark's gospel today. These are big questions. Questions about who is Jesus Christ. This is a big point in the gospel. It may not feel like it, but it's actually a major turning point in Mark's gospel. There's a Hebrew word, which is chokmah. Chokmah is the word for wisdom. We heard it today in the reading from Proverbs. Chokmah, or wisdom, is personified as a woman in Proverbs, as well as some of the apocryphal wisdom literature, like our song from Wisdom we said in our canticle today. Now, chokmah is a Greek, or is a grammatically feminine noun, and its translation in Greek is Sophia, and in Latin is sapientia. All three of those words happen to be grammatically feminine. And so because of this, from the early times of Christianity, wisdom or chokmah or Sophia or sapientia has been personified as a woman in iconography. And also since the early times of Christianity, holy wisdom or Sophia, particularly in Greek, was associated with the second person of the Trinity. In other words, it is a personification of Christ, a feminine personification of Christ. In our canticle that we said together from Wisdom, it says, "For wisdom is a reflection of the eternal light, a spotless mirror of the working of God, and an image of God's goodness." So very reflective, of course, of Christ's relationship, the second person of the Trinity's relationship with the first person of the Trinity. Now, Proverbs gives us this feminine image of Christ calling out for justice and recognition of God. Admittedly, it's a pretty frightful image. It's an image that's not a terribly friendly one. But it gives us a sense of urgency to the questions asked in the gospel. Who do people say that I am? But who do you say that I am? Now, as I said earlier, Mark chapter 8 is a turning point in this gospel. This is a really important pinnacle moment for this narrative. Because up to this point, this Jesus guy has been on the scene and he's been doing stuff. We have so far seen in Mark's gospel Jesus call his disciples. We have seen Jesus teach. We have seen Jesus heal. We have seen Jesus cast out demons. And we have even seen Jesus feed the multitudes. So naturally, people who are watching this guy are going to be wondering, who is this guy? And they've probably been wondering this and talking amongst themselves. Who might this fellow be? And why can he do such things? So Jesus is walking along the road with his disciples. And he asks them this question, who do people say that I am? Well, they've probably been talking amongst themselves, and so they speak up. First guess, John the Baptist. Now, I find this one a really odd guess for a few reasons. Now, John the Baptist was a charismatic figure. And he was killed two chapters earlier. That seems a little problematic. I mean, maybe they could have assumed he was like the original Elvis. You know, he faked his death and then is occasionally seen shopping at Walmart in California. Well, this is really a strange guess because the two of them, John the Baptist and Jesus, had actually been seen together at the baptism of Christ at the Jordan River. They were seen in the same place. Now, maybe not the disciples. They weren't with him yet. Maybe a lot of these people following them around weren't with them, but it's kind of odd to guess that they're the same person. I mean, it's not like John the Baptist steps into a phone booth and out pops Jesus. they were actually in the same place at the same time. So the next guess, Elijah. This might also, for those of us listening, think, well, that's an odd guess. I mean, he died a long time before, except he didn't. Malachi, one of those other minor prophets, I talked about Micah last week. Malachi 4, chapter 5, says, "Lo, I will send you the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes." So they were expecting Elijah to come back. And in fact, Elijah didn't die. He, 2 Kings, he is taken off to heaven in a chariot of fire. Yeah, that's where that song is actually based from. Yeah, he's taken off to heaven. He doesn't actually die. So they think, okay, he's going to come back right before God makes everything right, smites all the enemies, and unites all the people, and everything's good. Elijah's going to be the first one. So here's this guy doing miracles just like Elijah did. Maybe this is Elijah. So next guess, one of the prophets. Hey, maybe it's Malachi. Maybe it's Micah. Maybe it's Jeremiah. Maybe it's a prophet we haven't even heard of yet. Somebody who showed up new. So then he turns to the disciples and he says, "All right, but who do you say that I am?" And then Peter speaks up. Now, Peter is often portrayed as the fool, especially in Mark's gospel. He's kind of set up for failure. He sort of trips over his own feet. He puts his foot in his mouth. He's set up for failure so that the audience, us, can go, "Oh, come on, I know better than that," and we can learn a lesson. It's kind of Peter's role in the gospel, particularly this one. And he does, in fact, fill this role in the next paragraph. But just for a moment, Peter throws out a wild guess, and he hits the bullseye right on target. "You are the Messiah." Now we think of Jesus, we say Jesus and we say Christ. The word Christ is not actually Jesus' last name, by the way. It comes from the Greek word Christos. It's originally attested in the Septuagint. The Septuagint, because I'm sure you all have no idea what I'm talking about right now, the Septuagint was a Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, what we think of as the Old Testament. So, thanks to Alexander the Great, everybody in the region was speaking Greek by this point. The scriptures existed in Hebrew and a little bit of Aramaic, and so they translated it to Greek so that everyone could read it, about 100 years before Jesus was born. So when they were translating the Septuagint, they would come across Messiah. Now Messiah, or Moshiach in Hebrew, was the word that they would find in the scriptures. The word Moshiach, or Messiah, means anointed. Anointing is pouring on oil. It was a Hebrew tradition. It would be how they would mark kings and high priests. So anointing was a thing. But now, sometimes translation can be a problem. Yesterday, I ran across somebody to take a screenshot of an, you know, sometimes people throw things into Google Translate and it doesn't quite come out right. So apparently there had been a hurricane warning issued in Spanish and somebody threw it into Google Translate to see what it says in English, which it says, hurricane warning. Please take, hurricane will be indicated by the sound of mermaids. If you hear a mermaid, please take cover. The problem is, it was just translated automatically because the word for mermaid in Spanish is sirena, which is also the word for siren. So this was the same problem when they were translating the Septuagint. They'd come across the word Moshiach, and they had no word for this in Greek. So they kind of took a stab at it. And they came up with the word Christos, which means literally the oily guy. Oh, the great oily guy who's going to come and save us all. So the Messiah, the Christ, the Mashiach, was in Jewish tradition. He was the liberator of God's people. They imagined the Messiah to be this kingly figure, a high priest, one who was anointed for the task. It was assumed that the Messiah would gather all of the tribes back together, unite the tribes, conquer the enemies, and bring peace. So finally, you are the Messiah. It's finally happened. The Messiah has arrived. All will be well. And then Jesus reigns on their parade. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. Wait, undergo great suffering, rejected by all these important people, and be killed? But that's not how the story is supposed to go. We have our narrative. We know the story. Jesus, you clearly have it wrong. And so Peter's like, no. He's going to say what everybody's thinking. So he takes Jesus aside and he's like, yeah, it doesn't work this way, Jesus. And Jesus responds, get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. The Messiah does not work the way we humans imagine. But I think today, in our 21st century American context, I think we can still ask these questions. Who do people say that Jesus is? Even with 2,000 years of Christian tradition, there are still questions about who Jesus is. Especially in the last 20 years, there's been a lot of work on the historical person of Jesus. And some people have started to question whether Jesus has really even existed as a person. Oh, how do you know that Jesus really even lived? Can you prove a historical Jesus really walked the earth? I don't know. Can you prove Julius Caesar, Genghis Khan, or your great-grandmother really existed? Yeah, sometimes skepticism or cynicism isn't really helpful. Yeah, we have to have faith. And sometimes it's not just faith in God, it's faith in historians and writers. Now, some people will say, yeah, Jesus really existed, but he was just a good guy, a really good guy. Some people look at Jesus as just a teacher. Some people even think Jesus was a Buddhist monk. Who knows? Anything's possible. But as Christians, a word that literally means little anointed ones, as Christians, who do you say that Jesus is? As Christians, we are called to have faith in the person of Jesus as Christ, as Messiah. As Christians, we are called to believe in Jesus as both God incarnate, God that came to live and walk among us, but also as a full human being, just like us, to live and die just like us. As Christians, we are called to believe in a Jesus who did indeed save the world and continues to do amazing and unexpected things. Who do people say that I am? But who do you say that I am? Amen.